This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Among the many changes in Detroit over the last decade plus has been a growth in urban agriculture. Kami Potokuchi is a professor at Wayne State University. She's also the founder of Seed Wayne, which is a sustainable food initiative for the campus as well as the city of Detroit. Potokuchi will speak on Thursday night at Western Michigan University's Knaus Hall. Her address is sponsored by Western's Center for the Humanities. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you for inviting me, Gordon, and I'm really excited about the lecture.
Tell us a little bit more about Seed Wayne. What does it do and how does it do it?
So Seed Wayne is a campus community collaborative that is dedicated to building sustainable food systems on the campus of Wayne State University and in Detroit neighborhoods, really through student leadership. I mean, those are two main goals. Sustainable food systems is the overarching goal, but the means is through student leadership. And we have several activities on campus with Seed Wayne, as well as in the community. On campus, we have three gardens that are student-led that produce vegetables and herbs mostly, and flowers, and berries, not a lot of berries. We have the flagship 22-week farmers market on campus that runs between June and October. And we also offer a variety of classroom and field-based educational projects working with faculty members across campus. But then there is a special course that I teach that links to Seed Wayne that's called Cities and Food, which is offered in collaboration with community partners who come each week to lecture on an important theme related to community food systems, whether that's anti-hunger work or farmers markets or school food or efforts to link local growers and local consumers. And students also work on projects that are designed by community partners. In the community, we have other kinds of activities. We helped build nearly 4,000 square foot passive solar greenhouse on the east side in collaboration with the Earthworks Urban Farm. That's a program of the Capuchin Soup Kitchen that is a site for both production as well as demonstration of season extension, entrepreneurial agricultural training among youth and adults, and sourcing fresh produce that are grown organically to the soup kitchen. We also offer community nutrition workshops in partnerships with various organizations across the city in which student leaders offer engaged hands-on workshops on a variety of themes related to healthy eating and physical activity. We've worked with seniors, we've worked with young people, and just community residents. In addition, we have worked with corner stores in mostly on the east side, some on the west side, to help them carry fresh fruits and vegetables. That project is called Detroit Fresh, and the project formally ended when the grant ended, but we still maintain relationships with many corner store owners who are continuing to address this important need in their neighborhoods. Now, we have several goals in Seed Wayne. Our primary goal is to increase access to fresh and healthy foods. We want to connect more closely than is currently the case, people who grow food and people who eat food, and everyone eats. We want to build the community's capacity in sustainable food systems through a variety of activities, including, of course, education, but also policy change and institutional change. And the university where I work is a big example of the kind of institution that we are working to change. And we want to link to community goals in health, economic development, sustainability, justice, and greater democratic participation through food.
So we often hear about this idea of food deserts, especially in big urban areas, that there are not many grocery stores, and the grocery stores that are there often do not carry fresh fruits and vegetables. Is urban agriculture one answer to the idea of food deserts?
Very much so. And while I don't like to use the term food desert, it has currency, and I think people have an intuitive understanding of what that means. And typically it signifies the lack of access to fresh and healthy food in neighborhoods, especially in inner city neighborhoods that are populated by communities of color. Very much so, urban agriculture is a great solution to improving access to fresh fruits and vegetables. And there is evidence that shows that when people grow their own food, they eat more of the required servings, the recommended servings of vegetables and fruits. And this has also been shown to be the case with young people when they're engaged in growing and they learn more about the food system, and the growing is placed in a broader educational context. And when they, especially there are intergenerational connections where there is discussion about the cultural aspects of food, there is a, you know, young people adopt healthy diets that have more fresh produce in them with some enthusiasm. And so that is a huge accomplishment. But we also know that urban agriculture does a lot more than that. And I'll speak to the ways in which, especially in Detroit, urban agriculture is helping redefine our understandings of community, and also especially redefine notions of neighborhood. What does it mean to have a neighborhood that is vibrant? You know, we talk about livable neighborhoods very much in urban planning, but really, what does it mean to have neighborhoods that meet this very basic need of food and conviviality and sociability and safety? Urban agriculture contributes to all of that. And of course, planners like to talk about property values, and it's been shown that urban agriculture positively contributes to increasing property values for those of us who are invested in our neighborhoods and own homes.
So how can an urban area, even maybe a smaller city, but one that has, you know, some densely populated areas with a lot of houses close together, what can they do to make themselves more friendly to the idea of a potential urban farm?
Sure. So in fact, that is one of the things that we're making the case for. Even though there's so much vacant land in Detroit, there are also pockets that are hot for development and where there might be resistance to urban agriculture. And one of the arguments that we're making, you know, collaboratively with lots of farmers who are, you know, making the case in very concrete ways, is that urban agriculture can fit into all kinds of neighborhoods, all kinds of densities, and all kinds of structures and so on. And so some very concrete ways in which urban agriculture can be integrated into a dense, say, urban fabric is through, for example, neighbors coming together and, you know, learning how to grow in smaller spaces in their front yards and their backyards, maybe pooling yards so that they can be a more systematic plan across, across fence line, what may have been fence lines. We could have zoning that facilitates growing in, for example, zoning and other policies, transportation policies, for example, that could facilitate growing in the sides of highways, in schoolyards, for example. We could have agreements where, for example, elderly homeowners who may not necessarily want to put the labor can partner with young people who may be living in apartments, and so that then they could get a share of the produce. There have been all kinds of arrangements where people or institutions that have access to land or rooftops can make those available to groups or individuals who wish to garden. And there are very many possibilities for that to happen.
So on the idea of what an urban farm or perhaps several urban farms might mean to community, does that just provide more of a feel of being in a neighborhood where people are outside more, perhaps they're just in their yard, they might look over the fence and see a neighbor, strike up a conversation? Is that maybe something of an intangible benefit that might come from putting an urban farm in?
Very much so. We have seen, and there has been documentation of these kinds of chance ways in which gardens promote interaction and a sense of community, cross-cultural, cross-generational integration. They provide safe spaces for people to come out and engage with people who may not be like themselves and learn about, what, for example, an Asian, cuisine might include by way of, bitter gourds or some other kinds of beans and so on that they might not have the opportunity. So gardens have, across the country, shown to be places of great sociability, great social engagement, and a way for people to approach other people who may be different from themselves, a great way to learn across the generations where young people may feel more comfortable learning from the generation that represents their grandparents in ways that they may not be comfortable talking inside a facility, for example, inside their home or inside a school, and cross-cultural communication. So gardens do promote sociability, and that paves the way for other kinds of community coming together and addressing other issues, for example, such as safety or neighborhood watch, or issues that the community may want to address, such as a school or problems related to, food access writ large and so on.
Has the idea of urban farming helped bring more young people down into the city of Detroit? We've heard that there has been this growth of younger people wanting to live in the city. Is urban farming something that attracts them? Or does it help keep them there?
Yes. Yes to attract and yes to keep, although, young people inevitably grow up, and so it'll be interesting to see and follow groups of young people to see if that interest is maintained and if the level of engagement is also maintained. So there are many ways in which groups in Detroit are engaging young people, including informal K-12 education environments. So, for example, the Detroit Public School System there has 80 school gardens now that are funded by the Office of School Nutrition, and there is a systematic effort to incorporate the harvests from these gardens into the classroom. The teachers are being trained and brought into various gardening practices and are being helped to figure out how to connect gardening and agricultural-related topics and food system-related topics to their own classrooms. And so that, of course, is a great way to engage young people. But there are nonprofit organizations all across the city that have developed systematic programs to involve young people in the actual agricultural activities, in helping them take care of their own patches, in engaging them in conversations about nutrition and health and the social and political environment in which, the community exists in terms of how the mainstream food system serves or does not serve the community at large. And so there's a lot of activity around engaging young people in urban agriculture and food systems in the city, and the possibilities are endless.
What can other cities learn from Detroit's experience with urban agriculture?
What can other cities learn? Urban agriculture is possible in many different kinds of neighborhood. Urban agriculture is a very easy way. It offers many different entryways to people people at different age levels, people with different amounts of time, discretionary time, people with different interests in terms of health or economic development, or people who want to increase their income, people who are interested in environmental sustainability, people who are interested in justice. It's a way to bring together people from different groups and interests. It offers an easy way to connect. And it's seasonal, so that if you are a newcomer to urban agriculture and you make a mistake this season, you can be forgiven and you can start afresh next season, and you are a wiser person for that experience. In other words, it fosters learning in ways that maybe some other enterprises may not be so forgiving. Other communities can learn from the urban agriculture ordinance that we developed. Other communities might want to see how the food justice community has evolved, the food justice discourse has evolved in Detroit, and may learn from the specific activities from Detroit. So, you know, I think there's a lot to be learned from Detroit, and we certainly have a lot to learn from other places. And I'm excited to come to Kalamazoo and see all the things that are going on in terms of sustainability and sustainable food systems there. And the idea is not that there are solutions that can be transplanted, you know, wholesale, but that there might be lessons in terms of how to adapt practices and learnings from other places to our context.
So what do you see in the next few years in terms of urban agriculture? Do you see potential for growth? Do you see new ideas on the horizon? Give us just sort of your best educated guess right now of what we might be talking about in a few years when it comes to urban agriculture.
Yeah. So there's definitely a lot of growth, and growth not just in terms of the number of people involved and the scale of the activities and the amount of land that is now being brought into agriculture and cultivation, but also some really innovative things in terms of what it means to do urban agriculture and how agriculture can be interwoven into urban life and what that means for urban life itself and our urban communities. So there's a lot of that, that and those discussions will grow and flourish, and there'll be some new ideas that'll come up. And Detroit, you know, we have a lot of vacant land, which came about because of, a lot of depopulation and the loss of wealth and investment, but it is a resource. And there is the potential for bringing more land into cultivation such that, it's possible to feed, to meet the fruit and vegetable needs of Detroiters for the kind of consumption of fruit and vegetables that can be grown in Michigan. It's possible to meet that just through agriculture in Detroit, and you don't need to take up all of the vacant land in Detroit. And so we're trying to, figure out what it takes in terms of land, what would it take in terms of other kinds of resources for that to happen. And there's some really interesting discussions and work to figure that out. Of course, you know, just because there's a lot of vacant land doesn't mean that it's accessible to growers right now. And that's going to be the challenge, the key challenge in terms of what our conversation is going to look like in 5 years. The Detroit Land Bank, is now in charge of the developing policies and practices to dispose of land that has come into city ownership through tax foreclosure. And some of that land has been made available. For example, Hans Farms got 1,500 parcels of land. It's now Hans Woodland, and there's another farm called Shar Recovery Park Farm that has gotten a significant amount of land. But individual growers are still experiencing some frustration in terms of being able to access land in the locations that matter to them. Not way out there where there's a lot of, vacant land that was created by industry that left and so on. So that is going to be the big question, and groups are working to figure out how to work with the land bank, how to collaborate with each other so that enough land can be brought into the hands of those who are interested in growing, that have a track record, that especially want to connected to jobs and economic development, that is taking shape, and exactly how it plays out will be something that needs watching.
Kami Potokuchi, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much for having me on.
Kami Potokuchi is a professor at Wayne State University and also the founder of Seed Wayne. She will speak on Thursday night at Western Michigan University's Knaus Hall. Potokuchi's address is sponsored by Western's Center for the Humanities. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.